to glory, from faith to faith. I'm moving on, I'm moving on, I'm moving on. I'm getting older, so I'll keep it straight. It hurts to let go, but it hurts more to stay. I'm moving on, I'm moving on. Hey, I'm moving on. Hey, 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 hey. I know my rear view can't compare.
How you gonna respond when they try to say gotta hang when it seems my hope is lost. You got a witness, they'll hold you up. And in the process, they'll fill your cup. So I'm not worried, I'm not scared. I'm gon' trust like my bishop said. It's a message to the devil, you can't help but faith. And we gon' make a lot.
Well, I am so happy that you've tuned in to Prophecy Alive, and I am your host, Roderick Owensby. Well, this broadcast has been dedicated to sharing with you what I believe that God has given us our mouths for. You say the tongue is for tasting food. The tongue is for speaking, you know, but the tongue is also what I call a faith organ. It is our faith organ. You know, we got the heart, we got lungs, we got all of the organs in our bodies. But I'm telling you something, people, that tongue is one of the most influential organs in our bodies. It causes nature itself to be on course. The tongue is like your car. You have the steering wheel. No matter how good your engines are, that steering wheel means a lot. You can in one instant turn the wrong way. You know, our tongue is just like that, y'all. You ever had somebody just make you upset? You could have just got through speaking in tongues, and you can speak in another tongue and just curse somebody out. Yeah, believers curse. Let's get it straight. You can be frustrated and say some words that relieves that frustration. And I'm going to show you something. It actually doesn't relieve it. You feel as though it does. You ever wanted to just bless somebody else? Bless somebody out, and then you think you are relieved, but actually, it actually inflates your emotions. You know, that's why music is so important. And someone said the other day that R&B is dead. No, we need songs that's going to uplift, whether they're spiritual songs or songs of chivalry, romantic songs. And I believe that the time has come that we need to understand that music influences the emotions. I want you to understand that there's something so powerful tonight that I'm going to be sharing. And at any time, you can call 515-602-9740 and then you press 1 and I'll bring you in tonight. We're going to be dealing with the tongue. And don't you know the tongue has your miracle? No preacher has it. No prophet has it. No church has it. Only your tongue has your miracle. And the mouth is so powerful. So we're going to be talking about, I was reading this about Moses. But before I get into Moses, his life is interesting. If you've been around the Word of God, and I'd rather say that than church, the Word of God. If you've been around the Word of God and you spend time reading it, whether it's for poetry, it's full of unique, inspired stories. And it's full of things that will uplift your spirit. And so I want to share with you, go with me real quick. I've been reading this today, Romans, the 4th chapter, and going to start at verse 16. Look at this. Verse 16 of Romans 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. It's talking about the seed of Abraham. Watch this. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's talking about Abraham, the father of faith. Now watch this, verse 17. Here is an explosive verse, and it has been used as a cliche. It has been used for hope, but I'm going to give you something that it is a reality. Look at verse 17 with me of Romans chapter 4. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Watch this. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now stop there. Faith is simply that. The worlds were framed by faith. It was spoken. I said earlier about our tongues. You know, our tongues are powerful. It can be used for influence. It can be used to sway people. It can be used to change a person from being angry. If you know what words to say, you could talk to someone that's angry, and they will end up smiling. You ever did that? It's how you use the tongue. The tongue is powerful. The God that this verse is talking about, our Heavenly Father, he speaks and he calls those things that be not. It appears not to be. It appears to be dead. What in your life that appears not to be? Is there something that you're believing for in your business, in your life, with your family, your health, or anything that appears to be the opposite of what you desire? Hear me now. What in your life that appears dead? Mm-hmm. It appears to be dead. It may be your money. It may be your relationship. It may be your marriage. It may be your business. It may be your hopes and dreams. It may be your desires. It may be your loved one, a business, or whatever. What appears to be dead in your life? Well, on this broadcast, I want to speak this word to you. If it appears to be dead, watch this, it's not. It appears that way. You ever walked outside and it looked like it was going to rain and we were going to have a thunderstorm and it's going to be a bad storm and it got dark. And then all of a sudden something changes. The sun comes out. It lights up outside. It changed from being dark and gloomy into a nice day. I've seen that happen right before my eyes. That is the exact power of our tongues. You know, the tongue is so powerful, it has a regenerating component in it. You can drink something hot and it can burn your tongue, but it will revive itself. And if your taste buds leave, it will regenerate itself. That's how powerful the tongue is. But don't you know that the power that is in us, this is not church power. This is not religious power. It is simply the power that God put in us. You know, he breathed into man's nostrils. Man became a living soul. That soul realm. It could be evil and it could be good. But the tongue is like that which guides a big ship. If your life is going left, you can change it with your mouth. It can go right. Look at this verse 17 again. As it is written, I have made thee a father. He's talking to Abraham of many nations. Before him whom he believed. Now watch this. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, religion would have you take the bottom part or the part of that verse that sounds prophetic. But I want to show you the entire verse, 17, Romans 4 and 17. First of all, it's written, I've made you a father of many nations. Do you not know that each man is a father of many nations? Each man is the father of many nations. Every man will look at themselves as a nation. Then you will have a different world. I said, hopefully. I'll say it, hopefully, because there are some people that are geared toward evil. They're geared. You know, they just, it's just a part of their nature. As a matter of fact, some people are born for evil. Mm-hmm. There were people in the Bible who were told by Christ himself, the real Christ, not this painter, but the real one. You were born for that purpose. Judas was born to betray. Peter was born to deny. It doesn't mean that you should seek out to do evil, but there are people who will let him be. That's what the word says. Because some people are born for that. And God, you believe it or not, God raises up certain people to bring about a purpose in the Word of God that doesn't seem to be too good. You understand? Even Apostle Paul, when his life changed, it was shocking to the whole kingdom of religion. Because here's a man that did evil. And watch this, thought he was doing the will of God. He really thought it. I'm not talking about somebody just going out and just doing mess and don't have nobody to check them, him or her. But Paul, when his name was Saul, in the book of Acts, the ninth chapter, he was knocked off of his beast. There is a plan of God in this season. There are some people God is knocking off of their beast. They have a beast of racism. They have a beast of bigotry. They have a beast of lying. And I'm going to tell you something. Hear this prophetically. You're about to see something on this earth that's going to literally astonish you. There are some people that are just geared for bad, and they're going to become a very used of God, because God can knock anybody, no matter how big, no matter how rich, he can knock anybody off of his beast. As powerful as Apostle Paul was, he got knocked off of his beast in the book of Acts, the ninth chapter. He was Saul then, and he saw a light. Light means understanding. He saw a revelation of Christ. The real Christ. He saw a revelation, and he was told it's hard to kick against the prick. There's some folk that's been kicking against the prick for decades and for hundreds of years. There's going to be a revival that's going to shock the church. Let me prophesy again. There's going to be a revival that's going to shock the church. There's many people in the so-called church who thought they had it all together, but the shaking came. And you've seen who really believes and who really doesn't believe. Listen to this. And this is so good. So verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Every man is the father. Start thinking that way, young man. Before him whom he believed, even God, here it comes, who quickeneth the dead. God can quicken you from being poor. And you can be quickened to become rich. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You can be quickened in your mind to say it. I believe that tonight I'm being quickened. Say it. I believe tonight I'm being quickened. You may have unforgiveness in your heart, but you can be quickened to forgive. You can have a bad taste of this particular individual. And you can't stand this individual, but you could be quickened. Just say, God, quicken me. Quicken me. He'll do it. Just simply by saying, Lord, quicken me. I'm having a hard time forgiving. I'm having a hard time releasing this person or persons. And just ask God to quicken you. He said here in verse 17 of Romans 4, even God who quickeneth the dead and call it those things which be not as though they were, as though they were, as though they were. In other words, everything that's in your life that seems not to be, I say tonight, it is. It is. It is be. Let there be light. Let there be a provision. Let there be. I saw the other day, it happened some time ago, this man invented a machine, and it takes air and it makes water. Do you not know God never runs out of resources? There's a new wealth that's being released in the earth. And listen, the government can't legislate it, you know. And it, you, when God starts making people wealthy, you'll really see who's evil. Someone said, money changes you. No, no, correction. Money doesn't change anyone. Money reveals everyone. Think about it now. Money's not going to change you. If you broke and mean, you'll be rich and mean. If you're broken, hateful, you'll just be rich and hateful. If you're broken, selfish, you'll be, if God doesn't help, you'll be rich and selfish. If you're broke, poor, and racist, full of bigotry, hate people because they look different than you, talk different than you, as you can see, you'll be rich and full of bigotry. Money does not change anyone. What money does is reveal everyone. You ever see a family when someone leaves, the whole family starts fighting over little stuff? You understand. Why? Because death and life, Proverbs 18 chapter, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And listen to the whole verse. And they that love it, love what? Death or life, will eat the fruit of it. Do you not know there are some people who are living but love death? Yes, there are some people who are living, breathing, looking, seeing, eating, riding, laughing, but love death. Living but love drama. I love you so much. Do you not know if I didn't love you, I wouldn't even say it? And the problem with many people, I can't give you no junk food because you get enough of that on some Sundays. Listen, the problem with a lot of people is they want to be pampered into a purpose. They want to be pampered. They want to be pampered into a purpose. They want to be babied into a purpose. That's why many pastors have become spoiled, because they had people pampering them. And so they felt like they had to pamper the same people who were pampering them. They had to pamper them back. You understand? I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. You understand? So if anybody desires to pamper you, they really are hindering you. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's spoiling you, they are hindering you from your purpose. The only way for you to be and to get into and to be what God has purposed for you to be, you need somebody on earth that's going to look you eyeball to eyeball, teeth to teeth, gum to gum, and sometimes rebuke you in love. Now, I'm not talking about I'm beating you up now. I'm talking about correcting you. No more than a coach, a boxing coach or a football coach. No more than a parent that loves the child. All that baby stuff comes when you're first born. Oh, look at that baby. That baby's so cute. Oh, look at them. Oh, do you see how that baby cry? Oh, we just go crazy. We go to the hospital. We look behind the glass. Oh, look at that baby. So cute. And then that baby little and start wanting to walk. And we just go, oh, that baby is so cute. And you see that baby get up and try to take a step and fall. And say, oh, my God, didn't it fall so cute? And then after a while, that baby get one, and you're still pampering them, then that baby get the terrible twos. Nowadays, the terrible 18 months. You know, and then the baby get one, two, three, four, five, and then all of a sudden, that baby begins to change. Come on, that baby begins to change. And what used to be cute when they were little is not cute by the time those girls get 13. And when those cute little girls get 13, they know everything. You can't tell them nothing. I love y'all so much. You once they get, and once those boys start smelling themselves, then you can't tell them anything. So you can't spoil a person into their purpose. That's why the tongue has your miracle, but there's some things that have to be corrected before you can properly use your mouth for your miracles. I'm going to show you a good example of this man named Moses. Now, here's Moses. He's called by God. He's called by God to deliver a people. Now, watch this now. Watch this. God calls him to do something that is not, it's not even heard of in his time. It's sort of like Dr. King in our time. Come on now. He is about to go before someone he knew, a great man who had the power to do something, to put you to death or make your life a living hell or to make you a slave. His name was Pharaoh. Now, I want you to look at this with me. I want you to look at this. Here's Moses. An ordinary man, like unto Christ himself. And this man was changed into a super Moses. Do you know whoever you are? There's a super part of you. I'm prophesying to you. Somebody's going to get this and run with it. I know I am. There's a super part of you. You know, they make movies, Superman, Batman, Thor, all of these fiction. But in reality, God can take a natural man and make him or her, a natural woman, into a super person. I'm going to show you how that's done. And when you see how that's done, you're going to realize there's a super part of you that's crying to be released. There's a super part of us that's saying, I want to get out. I want to be the super part of me. Say it. I want to be the super part of me. We make movies, and those movies make hundreds of millions of dollars off of a fantasy and a desire for people to be great. Look what Job said. He said, is not my help within me? Your greatness. Great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your greatness is only in you. Your greatness would never come from the outside. Your greatness would always come from the inside, because what God put in you is greater than you yourself. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than everything about you, because it's the super part of you. There's a super you on the horizon. Young woman, young man, there's a super you. Seasoned man, seasoned woman, there's a super you that's ready to be revealed. A great example of how the tongue has power is Moses in Exodus. So we're going to go there, the fourth chapter. Moses becomes, he becomes greater than he even thought he was. And then when God called him to do what he called him to do, Moses asked God, what should I do if these people, these Israelites, tell me, in other words, to get lost? There came a time where they even wanted to slay Moses. So God gave him three miracles. Check this out. He gave him three miracles, first with his staff, and the second with his hands, and thirdly from the Nile turning into blood. And isn't it interesting that Moses' name means taken from water? Your birth has a clue. Your birth, our birth, has something in it that is a prophecy. Do you not know the way each of us was born is a prophetic event? All those seeds that wanted to get through, millions of them, millions didn't make it. But you were chosen to be born. So everybody that's born into this earth was chosen. Everybody was born. Now watch this. Exodus 4. Let's go there. I want you to see this because this is so powerful. Verse 1, it says this, Exodus 4. Then Moses answered the Lord and said, what if they will not believe me or take me seriously? Now, he's up speaking to God. God calls him. He was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, I believe Jethro. And he said, I got to turn aside and I got to see this great sight. He said, now, what if the people don't take me serious? And he said, what am I going to say? And the Lord appeared. You tell them the Lord appeared to you. He says in the Amplified Bible, it said, the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it down to the ground. So Moses threw it down to the ground and it became a living serpent. Now, you know, later on, those same things that he did. All of the things that God showed Moses that proved to Moses that he was God, he ended up needing. What is it that God's saying to you that you got to throw to the ground? There's something that's already a part of you. That's a part of you. It's your staff. It's something you lean on. It's something you walk with. It's something you depend on. It's like crutches. You understand? You ever had a broken bone like I have? You need that. To help you until that bone heals. So first thing God says, what's in your hand? I'm asking you, young man. I'm asking you, young lady, what is in your hand? God will always require what's in your hand. When he has something powerful for you to do, he will always require what's in your hand. Now think about it now. I don't care who you are. God wants to know, even tonight, what is it that's in your hand? What do you depend on? What are you leaning on? Mm-hmm. What are you leaning on? There's some people, your staff is unforgiveness. You need that. You need it. You lean on it. Your staff is drama. Your staff is whatever it is. Your staff could be a spiritual thing. Some of you men, God is asking you what's in your hand. Some of you, God is going to change you from being a pastor because that pastoring has become your staff. It's become something that you leaned on. Some of you, some of you as a bishop, God is saying switch. And most people disagree with this, and that's why the same old happens and the same old happens, because the changing of the guards, it's here. But you got to have people change with the guards. Come on. There's some people that God is saying switch, change. I change not, but I'll use a different method. That's why the word says, he that winneth souls are wise. God will change your method. You'll be doing something one way. You know, here's the fisherman. Jesus came by night and he was fishing and toiling. Wasn't catching anything. And the word came to them, cast your net on the other side. Young man, God is saying to you, cast your net on the other side. Young lady, God is saying to you, cast your net on the other side. God did me like that. He did me like that. And when he did it, I said yes. You know, because sometimes God will have you change, cast the net on the other side. You're tired of the side that you're on. You're happy. Some people are happy when God says, switch. I'm going to use you even greater in your spiritual office, but I'm going to change the method. Oh, y'all got to hear this. And those that have been willing, to hear this prophetic word, there's some people that's going to become millionaires overnight, and you're going to know them. You're going to literally know them. You better hear this prophetic word. They're going to become millionaires and billionaires seemingly overnight. And you're going to look at their lives and you're going to say, man, God told them to change this. I was used to them being a certain way. I was used to Roderick talking this way. I was used to Roderick doing this and that and this and other. And even when he was doing this and that and this and other, in his office, you still dog them out. So when God says, listen, I'm changing the method, not the man, I said, yes, Lord. Man, this is so good. It tastes like food. It tastes like my mama peach cobbler. Good God. Do you understand? Hear this prophetic word. There's some people that's going to become rich over, it's going to seem like it's overnight, but it's really not overnight. Because when you look at their lives, it's been about 40 years of preparation. Sometimes God will prepare you where you seem to be comfortable, and then he'll change you. Oh, I got to say that again. Sometimes God will prepare you. It will seem like he's going to keep you there. But as soon as he's ready, he'll take you from that place into another place. Some of y'all stuck in that same place year after year. Your papa was in that place. Your grandma was in that place. I love you so much. Listen, your uncle was in that place. And you've been in that place, and you think that's your earthly heaven. But God is saying, are you willing to throw down your staff? Are you willing to put it down? You know, there's some people who are spiritual, but they're mean. They're mean. And they every day, if they sit back like Nicodemus, they listen to you. They listen to you in secret. I see you. They listen to you in secret. And then they get up, and then they make a mockery out of you. And you notice, this is how you know when you're in the wrong ministry. In private, they'll talk about a person's sin. They'll talk about a person's spiritual adolescence. Don't you know all of us have adolescence? Adolescence don't stop when you become a teenager or you become a young adult. Adolescence is all through your life. The problem with people, we think adolescence is for young folks. And the duality of your life is that which contradicts who you are. Get this. The thing that contradicts who you are is that potter's wheel. You see, when some people try to be saved, I say, you know, people say, are you saved? That's the most ignorant question a person can say, are you saved? You know, a person asked me that before. I said, did Jesus die for me? Oh, well, yeah, then I'm saved. Some of y'all don't know how to answer people. You've been church hurt. You've been mama hurt, daddy hurt, girlfriend hurt, wife hurt, husband hurt, school hurt, job hurt. Your middle name is hurt. You don't know how to handle hurt. I want to help you. Hurt is H-U-R-T. Hurt is human. You are that. That's hurt. Just by being born, somebody had to hurt to get you here. I love you so. If I didn't love you, I would lie to you. If I didn't love you, and I'm behind this mic in this studio on this radio, and I got the nerve to say I love you, and some of you, listen, you don't know how to take the word I love you because you're surrounded by people who say it, but they really don't mean it. Your adolescent will never stop because there is a lesson to be added during your whole life. Adolescent. Here's Moses. God said, listen, first thing, you got to give me your staff. You got to give me something you depend on. Some of you, God is saying, give me your church. Uh-oh. You know, I've been having this church, and this church has paid off. We went through battles, and the bishop tried to come and take my church. You know, most changing of the guards is not effective to everybody. Listen to me close. And this is, listen to this. Most leaders who are in churches, if God said, give me your church, they'll say what they are saying. No. And this is how you know when the changing of the guards come. Because they are set in their ways and they will do the same thing over and over and over. You know, one scripture says, forever learning and never able to handle the truth. I'm saying it in a way where you can understand it. They forever learning and never able to come into what? The knowledge of the truth. What is the knowledge of the truth? The word says grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? By getting the knowledge of the truth. Well, that's not talking about church truth. I told you I love you, didn't I? That's not church truth. Some of you are not progressing spiritually. There's a difference between growing in church, as people say, I know how to do church. Well, knowing how to do church doesn't get you to any spiritual death. You understand this now. I love you. Knowing how to do church is being miserable. I know that pinched you a little bit. But God is speaking to many and saying, listen, give me your staff. Give me your church. And they're saying no, because my grandma had it. My pawpaw had it. I've been this way all my life. You know what that is? Listen. It's slavery. He didn't come to die for us to remain slave. And someone said, are you saying church is slavery? Well, there's a great part of it is. But no, I am not saying that church in and of itself. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Now, and then he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. But you know, religion took that and said, he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build this tabernacle of holiness church. Upon this rock, he's going to build this church of God in Christ. Upon this rock, he's going to build this Baptist church. Upon this rock, he's going to build this Presbyterian church. Upon this rock, he's going to build this Assemblies of God church. And you seen preachers not too long ago, they were sitting in the pulpit talking about everybody that's a Democrat is of demons. Because they believe upon the rock, he's going to build their church. You know, upon this rock, he's going to build this charismatic movement. Upon this rock, he's going to build this, you know, whatever your church affiliation is. That is not what the word is saying. He's saying, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. So before your tongue can bring deliverance, you must understand this. First of all, he says in Exodus 4, he said, listen, what do you have in your hand? Moses said, a staff. He said, throw it to the ground. Whatever your experience is, you have to throw it to the ground. Listen, even a seed has to get to the ground in order to grow. The changing of the guards is here. And the power of being able to speak and things come to pass is here, but not everybody is going to receive this because some people are not willing to throw their staff down to the ground. He said, throw it on the ground. And so Moses threw it on the ground. Verse 1. And watch this. When he threw it on the ground, it became a serpent. Is likened to the crown of Pharaoh. And Moses ran from it. When God tells you to throw your beloved staff on the ground, you're going to run from it. Man, when God showed me the change that I have released myself and yielded myself to God, I wanted to run from it. I didn't tell nobody. I didn't even say to my Queen Katrina, I wanted to run. But knowing the nature that God put in me, I said the nevertheless prayer. Until you can say nevertheless, you would never allow yourself to be less, to be what God is calling you to be. That's your personal altar call, nation. I'm speaking to the world. Throw your staff down. And when you throw it down, it'll come alive. Some stuff that you're trying to do won't come alive until you throw it down. If I wasn't willing to throw my staff down, the things that are about to happen to this boy would have never happened. When Moses threw that staff down, it became a serpent, a living, breathing serpent. And then God said to Moses, now this is what happened. Reach out your hand and grab it by the tail. Now watch this. When God tells you, and only God knows the timing of this. Only God knows the season of this. When he tells you to throw your staff down, when he tells you to throw that thing you're depending upon so much, he's going to tell you pick it up by the tail. He's not going to tell you pick it up by the head. You know why? Because if you pick it up by the head, then you're going to want to be in charge of it. He made us the head, but not the tail. Watch this. But he told Moses, get the tail. God will put you on the tail end of something to make you the head. Whew. Stay with me. I'm Roger. I'll be right back. My God. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see? Your life was the only gift I left for me. To be free. It's amazing with you.
You cover me.
I
appreciate it.
A mystery.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will never leave.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to be like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good or a way.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saves the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah. Superhero.
Don't pray to love.
A love like this
makes my heart beat.
push you. The church changed. Come on. Jesus loving you. It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey. Let me tell you what it means. That's why.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. Jesus. I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does. Come on. He will let you down, buddy.
Look at that. No greater love. That's Kirk Franklin, Love Theory. Listen, God says to Moses, throw your staff down. It became a serpent. And then God said, he said to Moses, reach out, watch this, with your hand and grasp it by the tail. And so Moses did that. He caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. I had to understand what I was trying to make a staff, God was trying to make a serpent. And when you allow God to make a serpent a symbol of your deliverance in your and what you're called to do. See, the fivefold ministry is not what we're called to do. It's what we're chosen to be while we're doing what we're called to do. Get it now. So when Moses grabbed that serpent, it became a staff. It became the very thing that he threw down. If you're not willing to throw down your staff, you will never be the deliverer that God has called you to be. I say this because I love you. I don't care if you're bishop. I don't care if you're 30,000 people every Sunday or two. If you're not willing to give God that which you depend upon and that which you think identified your calling, it will never die. It will never resurrect. Because the staff is dead. Oh, I love you. You got to hear this. I said the staff is dead. And when he threw it down, it came alive. But when it came alive, Moses didn't even know that which he carried, that which he made his something that kept him secure. Some of you are holding something and you think it's you. There's some men, as long as you got a nice car and you got a building called church, you feel secure. That's sad, isn't it? But that's true. And you spend your whole life, God forbid, and leave here holding your staff. Now, look at what God said to him. He said, you shall do this after Moses obeyed, after he reached and got his tail end of the serpent, it became a rod. He said, the elders may believe. I'm doing this so the people would believe that I sent you and that I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I'm the God that appeared to Moses. His name can be in there too. Now watch this. Then the Lord said to Moses, watch this. Put your hand, here's the second miracle, put your hand into your robe where it covers your chest. Put your hand into your robe, the place right on your chest. And so Moses did that. Do you know what happened? And when he took it out, his hand was leprous. It was white as snow. It didn't go in white. You got to have ears to hear that. But it came out white. Then God said, put your hand into your robe again. So he did that. And when he took it out, his hand was restored. Like the rest of his body. That means his whole body was dark. He said, if they would not believe you or pay attention to you, or to the evidence of the first sign, if they may believe the evidence of the second sign. But if they would not believe the first two signs and pay attention to you, he said, Moses, now take some water from this Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take out of the river will turn into blood on the dry ground. Same place where he told him, put your staff to the ground. Then he took the staff that became a serpent, it became a staff again. Then he says, put your hand into your bosom. That's like towards your heart. Watch this. And it became white as snow. Then he put it back in, and it became dark like the rest of his body. Now watch this. And God said, now if they don't believe those first two things, now go pour some water. Take some water from the Nile, put it on the dry ground, and it's going to turn into blood. And you know what Moses said? He said, please, Lord, I am not a man of words. I'm not eloquent. I'm not fluent. I can't speak too well. Possibly he might have stuttered. Who knows? Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech. He's telling you, he talks slow. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Now God is saying, now I'm looking at your mouth. He said, I made mouth. I made your mouth. He said, I make the mute or the deaf or the seeing or the blind. Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go. And he said, I will be with your mouth and will teach you what to say. But he said, please, Lord, send the message or the rescue to Israel. Send the message of rescue by someone else. This is what he's saying. Now look here. In verse 14, God gets angry with Moses. This is for a reason tonight. This is about the mouth. It's a whole lot of things that goes into this. God began to be angry. His anger kindled, and it burned against Moses. He said, is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? He said, where's your brother? Isn't that your brother? And God knew that was his brother. I know that he speaks fluently. Also, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be overjoyed. You must speak to him and put your words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what to do. And I will teach you what you are to do. He said, moreover, he shall speak for you to the people. He will act as your mouthpiece, and you will be as God to him, telling him what I say to you. So in other words, God said, I'm going to tell you, Moses, and you tell Aaron. Now watch this. And you shall take your hands, you're going to take this staff in your hands, and in which you shall perform the signs and the miracles to prove that I sent you. Now look at this. Then Moses went away and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go back so that I may return to my relatives in Egypt. Now Moses had kinfolks there in bondage. And if they are still alive? And then Jethro said, go in peace. Then the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life for killing the Egyptian are dead. So Moses took his wife, Zipporah, and he took his sons, and he seated them on the donkeys and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. Now, the rest is history. The people got delivered. Now, here God is saying, I'm going to still use your mouth. Now, you're going to say to Aaron what I tell you, and you're going to be like God, like I am to you, to Aaron. The changing of guards is here. People were expecting, like they did in Jesus' time, for Jesus to come and just make war with the religious people and bring deliverance. I'm going to say this to my people. We are the changing of the guards. You have to allow God to have you release that which you have leaned on. If you're going to be a part of this move of God, you're going to have to be willing to change your position. I'm Roderick. Until next Thursday, I love you. Be willing to change. Your miracle is in your mouth, but you have to allow God to teach you what to say. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Just look at somebody quickly and say, he is great and he is mighty.
That's Marvin Sapp. He's great and mighty. Our mouths have the ability to change the very course of our existence. Yeah, yeah, we can do that. Under the revelation that God gives us by us releasing what we think we own. Come on now. Once we release, like Moses, take your staff. Take that which you walk through the wilderness and you walk and you fight off animals and take that and just throw it down. We're willing to throw down that which we depend on. Then God will cause us to pick it up. And then we will pick it up in authority. You see, you can't get authority from having church. You can't get it. You will never get it. You get the authority from the obedience, not to a person, but to God. Now, if someone that God has ordained to influence your life, be careful that you don't make them a God. The word says in St. John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. It will be done. And herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. This is why Proverbs said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. The fruit that he's speaking of is the fruit of life. He came that we might have life and have it what? More abundantly. You know, a person said to me, I know the word. I said, do you know what you're saying? Yeah, I know what I'm saying. I know it from front to back. Okay. I said, can I help you? To say I know the word, you have to be careful. The word says that Adam knew Eve. I believe it is Genesis 4 and 1. Adam knew Eve. Let me read that to you. Because, see, people are so quick to say, I know the word. I know because I read it. Listen to this. I spoke to this young lady because I wanted to help her. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And Adam knew Eve. So to say I know the word, it means you have a relationship with the word. You are intimate with the word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have inter-spiritual course with the word. So to say I know the word is like a lot of my precious leaders, because you got a doctorate degree, it doesn't mean you know the word. Because you got certificates in your office, it doesn't mean you know the word. Some may accept you as knowing the word, but it doesn't mean you know the word. Because to know the word, that word abides in you, not in just a memory, but a relationship. Not a memory, but a relationship. Not a memory, but a relationship. Well, I'm Roderick, and I enjoy this time with you every Thursday at 8 p.m. I'm encouraged. I want you to be too. Until next time, the best is here.
Come on, put your foot on the floor.